You're with us for the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. We're checking in on Wisconsin's paper industry now. Paper product manufacturing is an essential business, and this means mills continue to produce medical and personal hygiene products. The Wisconsin paper industry employs more than 30,000 people with about 35 pulp paper and paperboard mills. So do you work for one of the state's paper manufacturers? How has production changed? We're at 800-642-1234. Scott Suter is president of the Wisconsin Paper Council, which represents the state's paper mills and papermaking industry, and he previously served in the state assembly for 14 years. Scott, welcome back to the Ideas Network.
Oh, thank you. Thank you for having me, and hopefully your family and your friends are staying safe and healthy.
Thank you. Yes. So how has Wisconsin's paper industry adapted during the pandemic?
Well, this has been a difficult time for everyone, but the paper industry and the converting industries have pivoted to make certain that, one, they're meeting the demands for essential products, and those are both a wide diversity of products, medical products, paper products, and then consumer products, especially hygiene products as well. But first and foremost, paper makers and converters are protecting their employees. And so they have protocols in place to protect their employees and to protect consumers, protocols for their manufacturing process, for their employees, to make sure that everyone's safe. And then in terms of making certain that the supply chain is both strong and continuous, our paper makers and converters throughout the state really literally working 24/7 to meet the demand. As you know, and your listeners may know, Wisconsin is the number one paper producer in terms of paper products in the entire nation. So we have a very important role to play with those essential products that consumers and medical professionals especially are looking for and need in this time of crisis.
Well, let's take a call. Bill is joining us from Fort Atkinson this morning with a question. Hi, Bill.
Hi, good morning, Mr. Suter. How are paper mills protecting their own employees from COVID-19? Have your companies put in protective measures in place for safe distancing and things like that?
Well, thank you for that question. That's actually a very important question for all of our manufacturers. Wisconsin Paper Council members and converters and paper manufacturers and our supply chain, frankly, have implemented COVID-19 health, safety and operational plans to support all of their employees, but also visitors and customers during this time period. So that the health and safety of our people and our workers is really, truly job one. But that includes identification of teams, remote teams as well when necessary for communication and crisis teams. It does, as you mentioned, include social distancing, of course. There's numerous daily leadership meetings, and, you know, a lot of our employees are working remotely, but many of our employees are not. So to protect them, we have health and safety protocols in place. So there's action plans, employee action plans, there's risk assessments, and there's screening processes, of course, for visitors, and to make sure that not only our employees are protected, but the products going out of our mills are safe as well. So a lot of protocols in place. It's been a lot of extra time, effort, and energy, but our manufacturers are happy to do it because it is so important to our workforce and so important to their customers as well.
Scott, DHS, Department of Health Services, is conducting facility investigations when there is a positive COVID-19 case. Do you know of any facility investigations at the paper mills right now around the state?
I don't at this time. However, I will say that our mills are working hand in hand and working with certainly with us. And we've been in constant contact with Wisconsin DHS and the governor's administration to make certain that we are following the latest and most recent guidelines that are put out by DHS and Wisconsin Economic Development Corporation and the governor's team. So we're ahead of the game in that respect, but we are also making certain we are doing webinars, we're doing conference calls with state agencies and with coalition partners to make sure that we have every protocol in place that is required, not only in the state level, but the federal level as well. So the answer is that we're protecting our employees. I don't know of any instances at this point, but we're doing everything and we've got protocols in place should there be an instance. So like I said, that's the safety and health of our employees is job one. And we're on top of it every single day, making sure that we're following those guidelines set not only by the state and the federal government and the CDC, but going above and beyond and making sure that, you know, we're looking ahead and thinking outside the box to make sure that, you know, every single possibility is looked at in terms of protection. That includes PPE gear. That includes, you know, making sure that those individuals that need to work remotely do. But the answer is yes. We are doing this across the board in Wisconsin, both converters and paper makers and our supply chain, and in constant communication to make sure that we're following best practices.
We're talking with Scott Suter, who is president of the Wisconsin Paper Council, which represents the state's paper mills and papermaking industry. You can join in. Do you work for one of the paper manufacturers? What is it like on the ground level? How important is the paper industry to your community and to its economic well-being? Join in at 800-642-1234. You can email ideas at WPR.org. So, Scott, we heard early on in the pandemic Americans buying up lots and lots of toilet paper. Georgia-Pacific and Green Bay saw orders for toilet paper and paper towels double early on. What are inventory levels like right now, production levels on these two things?
You know, like I mentioned before, our industry is working 24/7, literally, to meet demand, not only in Wisconsin, but outside of Wisconsin. But you mentioned Georgia-Pacific. Georgia-Pacific had stocks of bathroom tissue and had, you know, those bathroom tissue supplies in their warehouses. So they were able to meet demand, and they're still, obviously, demand is still there. But they are making certain that their supply chain is able to meet the demand of customers, not only, like I said, in Wisconsin, but also throughout the nation. So they're working with logistical teams. They're making sure that, you know, the manufacturing and the transportation and then the finance and technology work streams are really able to operate at peak capacity and to meet the rising demand. And, of course, for the medical community especially, but, you know, for those families that are sheltering in their homes, you'll see, you know, the supply chain is continuing. And while there's limited supplies, you know, manufacturers like Cascades and Eau Claire and in Georgia Pacific and others throughout the state are doing their best to meet the demand. And I would argue they're doing a great job of doing so.
Well, I wonder if people do stockpile during this time, are paper manufacturers concerned about their inventory down the road where there be a demand shock that will, again, strain the system when, you know, people don't need to buy up the toilet paper?
Well, I think that involves, that may be, but, you know, these companies are highly advanced, highly technical, and they're able to forecast. And, you know, their logistical teams are experts and world class. So they will not only be able to meet the current demand, but they'll, you know, see and look at what they need to do to pivot, you know, once this crisis is over. So the job one is making sure that, you know, we get those products to market. But we have to, you know, and I, you know, thank those in state government that and the federal government that recognized that paper making throughout the state and throughout the nation is an essential business. Like,
well,
you mentioned,
pause
at the top of the program.
Yeah, let's pause right there with Scott Suter, president of the Wisconsin Paper Council, about the impact of COVID-19. You can join in with your questions, 800-642-1234. Back in a minute on the Ideas Network. If you're just joining us, we're talking about Wisconsin's paper industry during the pandemic. It is the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. So Wisconsin ranks first in the nation in the number of paper mills, the number of industry employees in the paper industry, and in the value of the paper products sold. A study out of UW-Stevens Point last year found more than half of our counties have at least one paper manufacturing business. Is the paper industry a pillar in your community? Is the industry doing enough to ensure that its operations are sustainable and caring for the environment? Join in at 800-642-1234. We have Scott Suter with us, the president of the Wisconsin Paper Council. Let's take another call now. Rick is with us from Stoughton. Hi, Rick.
Hi, Kate. Thanks for taking my question. Scott, hearing your discussion really makes me think about our environment. People are obviously using a lot more paper towels, Kleenexes, and of course, toilet paper. And I certainly understand the importance of the products, but I'm just curious if this has any environmental impacts.
What are the environmental consequences of these mills, and what are they doing in terms of trying to make this more sustainable industry? Scott?
Well, and thank you for your question, Rick. I really appreciate that. This is actually a common misconception. And with all due respect, it's important to note that, you know, the papermaking industry is really very environmentally friendly. It's sustainable. Our products are both recyclable and renewable. So our papermakers and our converters, you know, these products are not only, you know, utilizing products from recovered fiber, which make the industry, you know, leaders in recycling efforts, and that results in lower greenhouse gas emissions as well. So papermakers are really good environmental stewards. You know, these, you know, if you look at the raw products coming out, not only are they good for the environment, but look at, you know, the forestry. Every ton of paper that's recovered saves about 3.3 cubic yards of landfill space. And look at the trees in the United States. So the United States has 20% more trees than it did on the first Earth Day celebration more than 40 years ago. And a single tree can absorb more than 10 pounds of CO2 each year.
Well, Scott,
I
want to jump in here, though. But last year, a judge approved a settlement that called for several paper companies that polluted the Fox River in Green Bay with chemicals to cover hundreds of millions of dollars in the remaining cleanup costs. What is the status of that cleanup, and what are some lessons learned there?
Sure. The cleanup is ongoing. And that stems from, you know, a long time ago. But look at the paper industry has evolved, and today's industry is very, very sustainable and very conscientious of the environment. They have to be, because consumers demand that those products be environmentally friendly, and they are. So not only are they sustainable and recyclable and renewable, but the industry has changed and addressed those concerns. So, you know, I would argue today's paper makers are world class in their efforts because consumers demand that, and paper makers have met that demand. And we do that all throughout the supply chain, you know, working with Trees for Tomorrow, working with, you know, environmental groups to make sure that not only is forestry sustainable, but that the products that we make are environmentally friendly as well.
Talking with Scott Suter, president of the Wisconsin Paper Council, and we want to hear from you. Is the industry doing enough to ensure its operations are sustainable? Do you work for a mill in your community? How is it doing? How do you want to see lawmakers regulate the industry? Join in at 800-642-1234. You can email ideas@wpr.org. Let's look at the industry's recent financial challenges before the pandemic hit. Plants had closed in the Fox Valley and in northern Wisconsin over the past two decades. How are the finances doing now?
You know, paper makers did go through a rough patch, and they streamlined operations. And some paper mills did close, and that's a tragedy here in Wisconsin. But those paper makers today are producing a wide diversity of products. So that not only are they diversified, but they're doing a lot of research in terms of throughout not only the United States, but the world in terms of new availability and new products that you know, really touch every aspect of our lives. You know, products from papermaking have hundreds, if not thousands, of uses. And our papermakers are diversifying and responding to that demand, but also creating new opportunities. And that's not, like I said, that's not only good for the environment, but that's good for consumers. And, you know, they've pivoted and they've streamlined and they are stronger than ever. And the COVID-19 crisis has hit papermakers hard, like everyone else. But they're responding and they will continue to not only diversify, but meet demand and meet the challenges. So those 30,000 men and women that are working in our mills and, you know, producing these products are some of the best and brightest. And these are highly technical, well-paid jobs, and they are responding, and they will continue to respond to those challenges.
Let's bring in Steve now in Madison. Hi, Steve.
Good morning. So you were talking about how the paper industry was making safety equipment and PPE equipment. Are you working closely with the state, or how does that work? How does the communication go when you're producing these safety materials?
Personal protection equipment, what is being turned out on production lines, and what is communication like, Scott, with state and federal level?
Sure. Well, thank you for your question, Steve. And the answer is definitely yes. You know, we've been in constant contact with the Governor Evers administration, including his chief of staff, the state agencies. And like I mentioned before, you know, from Wisconsin Economic Development Corporation, DOT, and DHS, and of course his Department of Administration, we've really maintained lines of communication with them and legislative leaders throughout this entire crisis. So we're also working with the paper converting industry to find new innovative ways to meet demands for medical equipment. And many of those operations have retooled their operations to meet that demand, making parts for surgical masks and protective visors and gowns and other PPE equipment. So, you know, there is a lot of innovation going on. There is retooling going on, but there's constant contact with the state. And in fact, we've helped, and to the extent possible, broadcast where that individuals and companies like ours and papermakers can donate to help the state of Wisconsin and meet their needs for hospitals and medical facilities as well. If you take a look at ND Paper, ND Paper out of Buren donated 1,500 Tyvek suits and 25,000 surgical masks to the state of Wisconsin. So we're doing everything we can, not only to produce, but also be good community partners and community leaders and really stepping up. But that constant communication is really important with, you know, both Democrats and Republicans throughout the legislature and throughout the administration.
Do you have any sense as to how these converted lines are, how long they're going to stay producing these items, and what specifically is rolling off production lines right now at these converters and paper companies?
Sure. Well, I think they will continue because the demand will be there, and, you know, throughout not only the crisis, but I think we've learned that, you know, we need to make certain that there is an adequate supply worldwide, not just in the United States, but also in other countries. And that demand will, I think, continue. But if you look at what's being produced by paper and converting industries in Wisconsin, you know, just give you a list. It's medical tapes. You know, it's disposable bags. It's sterilizers, swabs, you know, infection control products, patient gowns, lab coats, scrubs, OR caps, face masks, you know, medical protection equipment across the board. Not only that, but of course, essential products like, you know, tissue paper and napkins and, you know, adult briefs and diapers, food packaging products. The list goes on and on and on. So the demand will continue, but, you know, I think it is important to have those operations continue, and talking to converters and paper makers, the retooling operations will continue because that demand is going to be there worldwide.
Let's bring in David now, joining us from Upper Michigan. Hi, David. What's your question?
Hi. My question is the paper industry in Wisconsin still using chlorine to make their paper shiny white?
Is chlorine still used in the process, Scott?
Well, I'd have to get back to you, and I, you know, we don't represent all of the mills in Wisconsin, but I can tell you that our members, a vast majority of our members, are using the most environmentally friendly products, and not using products that are harmful. And I'll certainly get back to you. You know, and if you want to send me an email, I'll do some research on this. But our industry has evolved, and you know, the water coming in to most of the mills is cleaner going out than coming in. So our processes are very, very strict and very environmentally friendly. We go above and beyond state and federal regulations. So I'm confident that, you know, our industry is doing the right thing environmentally.
Scott, thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me. Have a great day.
You too. Scott Suter, president of the Wisconsin Paper Council, which represents the state's paper mills and papermaking industry. Coming up, we'll talk with the mayor of Green Bay about the recent surge in coronavirus cases in Brown County, how they're responding to it. That's coming up after this news update. Stay with us here on the Ideas Network. Right now, we have the mayor of Green Bay on the line. Brown County has the second most number of confirmed cases, trailing only Milwaukee County. And the Resch Center in Ashwaubenon was opened yesterday for community-wide testing for people with COVID-19 symptoms. Drive-up site is operated by the National Guard and local health care providers. What do you think about the recent surge in cases in the Green Bay area? What about the meat processor reopening today? Do you have a job in a factory or a manufacturing plant, a food processing center? How is social distancing being enforced? We're at 800-642-1234. Eric Genrich is mayor of Green Bay. Mayor Genrich, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Thanks so much for having me.
There is a lot of concern right now about the numbers in Brown County that trail only Milwaukee in COVID-19 cases. What are you seeing and how are you responding as a city in Green Bay?
Yeah, obviously it's very concerning for all of us in the greater Green Bay area. In Brown County, as you said, you know, we do have the second most number of cases here of COVID-19 in comparison to the rest of the state. So over 1,400 identified to this point. We do have the community testing sites that are operational now. So you mentioned the one over at the Resch Center. Another one's going to be opening up later this week at our YWCA downtown in collaboration with Casa Alba, which is a Hispanic community center that's also going to be providing testing. So the City of Green Bay does not have a public health department. Just want to be clear with that. Our county is the lead agency here, so they are leading our effort through this difficult time. But obviously, City of Green Bay is in touch with them on a regular basis. I talk to the county executive regularly. Our police and fire departments are also, a part of our unified command structure here in the county. So it's a community effort. As you said, you know, there's a large number of cases here, and it's very concerning for all of us.
Take us to these community testing stations. First, the Resch Center, which is now opened up community-wide. How does the site work?
Well, as I said, you know, City of Green Bay is not the lead agency here. That's Public Health Department over at the county. But people can log on to the county's website for information about that. They are operational as of today. They were up and running yesterday as well. I believe the hours are 8 to 6, but people can refer to the county's website for all that information.
And I understand that it's drive-up testing, but you still must schedule an appointment online.
That's correct. Yep.
Do we know anything about turnaround time on that, on the test?
Yeah, I believe it's 5 to 7 days is what people are being told. But again, you know, would encourage everybody to visit the Brown County Public Health website for that information.
Well, let's turn to the meat processing plants where we've seen hundreds of cases of COVID-19. JBS USA is coming back online today. What is your communication with these companies, with these firms like JBS?
Well, you know, it's not something that I've been directly engaged in. I know that our county health department has been in regular communication with some of their operations folks at the different departments. Department of Health Services at the state level has been very engaged, and as a community, we're very appreciative of that. The CDC was in town. So I believe that people are responding appropriately, but, you know, we do have an executive order that was handed down by the president that unfortunately gives meatpacking companies sort of legal carte blanche in this area and shields them potentially from liability. So while we've at the county level put forth some appropriate guidelines, and CDC and DHS have been helpful in suggesting those and proposing them, it is concerning to many of us that that these might not be legally binding. So if you have a meatpacking operation that does not have the best interest of its employees at heart, that could be a difficult situation.
Yesterday, Wisconsin Senator Tammy Baldwin called on President Trump to amend that executive order to make it so that meatpacking plants will reopen after meeting guidelines that are set by the CDC and set by OSHA, the Occupational Safety and Health Administration. Do you know what these guidelines would be, what they'd look like?
No, I don't. And, you know, certainly don't claim to be any kind of a public health expert. But I think, you know, these are the folks that know what's best for our residents, our local public health department, our state Department of Health Services, and, of course, the gold standard CDC. And so it's really important, I think, for meat packers, for these manufacturing entities, to be held to these guidelines. They can't just be suggested. So I wholeheartedly support Senator Baldwin and her efforts to make those guidelines binding.
Can these plants operate effectively and also practice social distancing on their lines and take the necessary precautions? Is it possible?
Well, I don't think there's any question that productivity will be limited. You know, the way that these plants typically operate is with a huge number of employees, you know, very close to one another, working very arduously in difficult conditions at times to work these assembly lines. So there's no question that operations, you know, need to be significantly altered.
We've also heard that animals, there's a glut of them, and some are being euthanized, thousands of them, not processed. So if the market is saturated without restaurants, schools, and hotels open, why are these plants running?
Well, I think, as you said, there is, you know, a bit of a log jam in the supply chain there, so that, you know, these animals continue to be produced from the farms and they're coming to these slaughterhouses, and the operations have been scaled back significantly. So that's where you're seeing that that log jam.
We have Green Bay's Mayor Eric Genrich with us on the line discussing how COVID-19 is unfolding in his city. What are your thoughts about the recent surge in coronavirus cases in Green Bay and Brown County? And by the way, how do you think Packer season will be handled? Be part of this at 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Back in a minute with Mayor Genrich right here on the Ideas Network. It's the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. We have the mayor of Green Bay, Eric Genrich, on the line. As we see, Brown County has started drive-up coronavirus testing at Resch Center in Ashwaubenon. Plans are in the works, as we've talked about, to open a similar testing site in Green Bay. We're looking at what Brown County is facing with your questions. Are you a county official in a nearby county? What are you watching for out of Brown? Are you concerned about a potential outbreak in your community and how it would respond? Is a facility investigation underway at your work? What does that entail? Join in at 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. And Green Bay Mayor Eric Genrich stays with us. Eric called in from Madison, Mayor, to say that he works in the agricultural industry. He's an essential worker, finds it frustrating when people around him don't wear masks, considering how contagious the coronavirus is. Do you think everyone should be wearing masks at this point, especially essential workers?
I do. I mean, but it's not me who's suggesting that. That's the CDC who's saying, you know, any time that we're out in public or associating with other people who are not members of our household, we need to be wearing masks. So I would certainly encourage all Wisconsinites, all members of Greater Green Bay, to wear masks when they're out and about in the community, when they're carrying out essential functions, either as employees or, you know, running to the grocery store to pick up necessary items. I think it's a really important precaution to take, and it's not asking a whole lot of us.
It seems your job might be hard right now when so much is out of your own hands. What are your challenges?
Yeah, I mean, that's a great point. There is a lot that's beyond our control at this point. As I said, I don't even have a public health department in the city of Green Bay, so that's something that I struggle with here. I have a lot of faith and trust in what's going on at the county level to lead us through this effort. But yes, to your point, you know, I'm no different than a lot of other folks in having to kind of, you know, sit back and unfortunately take a lot of this information in. However, we do know what we can do to stay safe, and that's, of course, to listen to our public health officials at the state and the federal levels and those operating locally, to do whatever we can to limit our travel, limit our exposure to other individuals who are not members of our household. As we just said, you know, wear masks when out in public, you know, wash your hands repeatedly, and of course, maintain that appropriate physical distance of 6 feet when you are associating with other people.
Well, let's bring in another call now. Kenneth in Janesville would like to circle back to the meatpacking industry. Hi, Kenneth. What is your question?
Good morning. I wonder if the packers are going to fire people that do not come in to work.
Kenneth, thanks for calling in. Do we know at all about what it is like for worker conditions if they feel it is unsafe to return to their job at the processing plant, Mayor?
Well, of course, would encourage anybody who feels unsafe to report those concerns to our local public health department or OSHA, who is tasked with enforcing, you know, workplace rules and laws across the U.S. You know, I would certainly expect a number of people to be fearful of returning to a work environment such as this. But we're hoping that, you know, these operations plan to operate safely. That's what they've told our local public health officials. But it's important for our workers, you know, all across Wisconsin, but in particular in Brown County, to feel secure and safe in reporting any concerns to the proper authorities.
Your city has also created its own small business loan program. Can you tell us about what that entails?
Yeah, so like a number of communities across the state and country, we have created a pandemic loan relief program for businesses located in the city of Green Bay, where you would be able to access either a $5,000 loan or a $10,000 loan with 0% interest, and so no payments on that in the first year. So we're doing whatever we can to respond to this crisis locally. But of course, there are so many businesses with significant needs. The federal government, of course, has stepped in with the PPP program.
Paycheck Protection Program, yeah.
Correct.
Can you get your small business loans in Green Bay on top of federal resources?
So you can go to the city's website. It's greenbaywi.gov/business. All of the information is located there, and application information, also contact information for our employees who are ready to and willing to help folks navigate that process. But as you said, it's really, you know, to catch people who have fallen through the gaps or the cracks and not eligible for the federal assistance.
We're talking with Eric Genrich, mayor of Green Bay, looking at the situation of the coronavirus in his area, his city, with your questions at 800-642-1234. So, Mayor, looking at what Green Bay is and what we think of it during the NFL season, what might happen? What kind of impact would there be if the NFL decides to cancel or postpone the season?
Yeah, so of course it's unclear to us exactly what will happen with the NFL season upcoming here. But, you know, we do see a huge economic impact when we have home games here in Green Bay in the neighborhood of between $10 and $15 million. We were also expecting to host a Badger game. Notre Dame was going to be coming to town to play the Badgers at Lambeau, which would have had an even larger economic, positive economic impact on Green Bay. So it's very concerning, you know, as is the case with many communities throughout the U.S. But of course, Green Bay is moderately sized, so the impact here proportionately is even larger when we have those games in town. So the economic impact is significant. Of course, the cultural impact is as well. The Packers are core to who we are as a people up here. So that would be a significant challenge if we're unable to have games with fans this year.
Have you had meetings with Lambeau about contingency plans at all?
No, I've had recent conversations with President Murphy about some community needs, but have not talked directly about plans for the upcoming season.
Your city has several weekly farmers markets that draw lots of visitors and shoppers, and you're trying to make those viable now. How will you do that? What is that like for your farmers markets?
Yeah, so for both of our farmers markets, we have a Saturday morning one and a Wednesday evening one. They've been in close contact with the city, also with county public health officials, to figure out how to handle these markets and do them safely. So they have been deemed to be essential businesses, like a grocery store, by the state of Wisconsin. So we are planning for them to continue forward, you know, as we move closer to farmers market season, which is just in a few weeks now. But there are some, you know, helpful guidelines that have been put in place by state DHS, which we will be following to make sure that we, you know, we limit the number of folks who are attending these events. There'll be markings on the ground to indicate sort of which way you need to be going, kind of one-way traffic through these spaces. A lot of sanitizing, of course, is going to be happening. So, you know, it's important that we continue to offer, I think, fresh fruits and vegetables to members of the community. But a lot of the other things that are attractive to folks with regard to farmers markets, a lot of the, you know, the live entertainment, the other items that might be available, I think that's going to change significantly, not just in Green Bay, but across the state.
Well, I want to circle back to where we started here with community testing. Do you know a time frame for the community-wide drive-up testing, how long it will go on, and how many people may be able to be tested?
So, again, I would refer any detailed questions about the testing regime to our county public health officials. I believe that they are scheduled to go forward for the next few weeks, but I'm you know, very confident that it will continue as long as it is necessary. The state DHS, the governor, the National Guard has been incredibly supportive of what our needs here in Green Bay. So that testing will continue. But I think contact tracing is also a really vital need for us in greater Green Bay. You know, the State Department of Health Services officials have spoken to this repeatedly, but contact tracing is also really essential. So not just making the or performing the test, but doing that analysis to figure out, you know, how many people this positive person has been in contact with, and getting in touch with them, make sure they get tested, and asking them to behave appropriately.
Mayor, thank you for joining us.
Thanks so much for having me.
Eric Genrich is mayor of Green Bay. Just ahead, we look at the future of the U.S. Postal Service and talk with a business reporter and a retired mail carrier about what can be done to save this struggling federal agency. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. This is The Morning Show, and you're listening to the Ideas Network.